Today on More to Life, parenting pitfalls. Got parenting challenges? Let us help you get the tools you need to navigate those parenting pitfalls at every age and stage. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, parenting pitfalls. If you got parenting challenges, we've got the tools you need to navigate those parenting pitfalls at every age and stage, whether we're talking about littles, school-age kids, teenagers, or even adult kids. Parenting never gets easier, but we are here to help you make your parenting life a little bit easier. Give us a call, 877-573-7825.
And parenting never gets easier, but it sure does change. You know, it seems like every time we think, I'm getting this, I've had a good day, this is going to be awesome forever, something changes. The stage of our child's development, the circumstances that we are living in, or our child's environment is experiencing. And then we feel like we're rebuilding all over again. And that can get frustrating, it can get kind of scary, and it can just make us feel like, am I ever going to get it right? Am I doing the right thing? And am I pleasing the Lord with any of it? And if you're just going through the life of being a parent, as Greg said, from beginning all the way on through, because we're parents forever, we're here to help you today on More to Life. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Call up and share. What parenting challenges are you facing? Maybe you're struggling with your child's behavior, your teen's drama, or your adult child's choices. Or maybe you're wondering about helping your kids grow in their Catholic faith. Or maybe it has nothing to do with your kids directly, but perhaps you and your spouse are disagreeing about parenting. Or you're getting pressure from your family or friends about your parenting choices. Or maybe it's just that you're feeling less confident than you'd like to feel about your own parenting skills. Whatever the challenges are, we want to help you find grace-filled ways to overcome all those parenting pitfalls we face along the way. The number again, 877-573-7825. Of course, if you're listening later on to the More to Life podcast, you can still get your questions in via email. And that address is questions@moretoliferadio.com. That's with the number two. moretoliferadio.com. But we do love hearing your voice and being able to ask those follow-up questions. So if you are tuning in live, give us a call, 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And if you're wondering, well, what is that exactly and how could it possibly help me with parenting? Well, hang on, I'm going to tell you. St. John Paul gave a series of reflections that looked at how we could live a more joyful and abundant life and have healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully reflecting on God's design of creation and specifically our bodies.
The theology of the body reminds Catholic parents that we aren't just called to raise kids who can function in society and hold down a good job. We're called to raise strong, faithful kids who can challenge society by building the kingdom of God. The world needs loving, responsible, godly people. And God has commissioned Catholic parents to give the world what it needs. The theology of the body tells us that families are meant to be schools of love and virtue. The places that we learn that God's vision of love is different from the world's vision. Family life is where we learn to celebrate that unique Christian vision of love in our own lives and share it with everyone that we meet.
You know, we have a tendency to think of ministry as the churchy stuff we do at church, right? You know, singing in the choir, being a lecturer, Eucharistic minister, doing charity work, and so on. And of course, those are important ministries. But the church tells us, and the theology of the body affirms, that being a good parent, building a loving, faithful household, and raising godly kids is the most important ministry we can do. You know, ministry is kind of best understood as any activity that conveys God's love and grace to another person. And if that ain't parenting, I don't know what is, right? The future of the church and society depends on us doing our job well. But here's the good news. You know, we don't parent alone. God wants to parent alongside of us, helping us overcome all the obstacles that are in our way. And that's why every day we need to start by leading our families in prayer, asking God to teach us how to be the families He wants us to be, instead of just stumbling through with our own plan. And then throughout the day, we need to bring our parenting to God, asking Him to help us in this moment, so that we can be the moms and dads He's calling us to be, and show us how to bring out the best in our kids as we lead them to Him. You know, rooting our parenting life in humility and prayer so that God can teach us how to create a more loving, connected, and caring Catholic home is the key to fulfilling our mission as Catholic parents. But that all sounds great. How do we actually apply that in your everyday life in the face of the particular challenges you're struggling with? Well, that's what we're here to talk about today on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825. If you've got parenting pitfalls, whatever they are, we are here to help. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, then we'll start taking your calls.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we bring our families to You, and we ask You to help us as parents share Your love with our children, so that they can experience Your love through everything we do with them, and the way we talk with them, the way we guide them, the way we teach them, the way we correct them. Help us overcome those parenting pitfalls that we encounter, whether it has to do with responding effectively and patiently to our children's behavior, or dealing with the disagreements and pressure that we get from family and friends about our parenting choices, or even the self-talk that undermines our confidence or our ability to connect with Your grace in our parenting roles. Help us to be the families You are calling us to be. Show us how to be the moms and dads that can bring out the best in our kids and lead them to You. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, parenting pitfalls. Got parenting challenges? We're going to help you get the tools you need to navigate those pitfalls at every age and stage. Whether you are dealing with your kids' behavior, or you are experiencing pitfalls coming at you from other directions. You know, you and your spouse don't agree about parenting. You're getting pushback about your parenting choices from your friends or family. Or you're just feeling like you don't have the confidence that you'd like to have. We're here for you. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Carrie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Wisconsin.
Hi, Carrie. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi. So I'm having parenting issues with my three-year-old son. My husband and I adopted him from birth, and then 9 months later, we had a biological daughter. So we now have a three- and a two-year-old that keep us very busy. My son is very, very busy all the time, and he does not listen when we ask him to do things. He is very
strong. Give me an example.
So he will go into the bathroom and play with the water. We ask him to stop. He doesn't. We have to carry him out. he doesn't have like safety awareness. Like, so if he's running out in the, you know, in the driveway and we tell him to stop, he won't.
Those are good examples. And now the other thing that you mentioned to our screener is that he's super attached to you, and you but help me understand, that sounded like you were saying it was a problem. So talk to me about that.
Yes, it's a big problem. So when my husband and I are home, he has to be with me all the time. Like, I'm not allowed to do the dishes after supper because he wants me to come and play with him outside or in the playroom. My husband can't put him down for bed at night. I have to do that. My husband can't bathe them.
Okay.
Without me being there.
So let me throw out a couple of things for you here. So, okay. No. All right. I understand what you're saying. Okay.
Let me ask you a question here, though, Carrie. You know, you led off with you adopted your child at birth. I'm hearing some really pretty typical things going on for a three-year-old here. Is there an underlying concern that you have? Is it just that these behaviors are rough for you to handle? You're tapped out with a three-year-old or a two-year-old? Or are you saying that there was something about his, you know, in utero development that you're afraid is off? Give me a sense of where your concern is rooted.
Sure. I have some concerns just with, I know he was exposed to drugs in the womb and things like that, so I don't know if that affects his behavior now.
Is he developing typically? Is he hitting his mile markers, or is there something off? Is your pediatrician seeing anything that doesn't?
He's meeting all of his milestones. He's great.
Magnificent. Okay.
All right, so Carrie, I thank you for the question, and I completely understand, you know, how overwhelmed you feel, especially with, you know, the kids
so close in age,
right?
Yeah.
I'm going to gently challenge your kind of expectations here, though, about parenting.
And we're challenging it because we want you to be able to breathe and know that it's all going to be okay, and it is okay.
So when you describe the things that you said, like, you know, he goes and plays with the water in the bathroom and you tell him to stop and he doesn't, or he runs ahead and, you know, he doesn't stop when you tell him to stop. That's the job description of any 2-, 3-, 4-year-old kid. The thing is, kids don't listen. We have to teach them to listen, right? And your expectation that he should just do what you say is just setting yourself up for frustration and him up for failure.
And I will say, as we teach them, we also have to take in developmental stages. So what they can learn at 2 or 3 is very limited compared to what they can learn at late 4, early 5, 6. So you're working with the developmental stages at this point as
so,
well.
So, you know, and 3-year-olds are capable of independent play without getting in trouble literally for about 3 minutes.
So, and even then, when we talk independent play, we still mean within your eye line, not alone in another room.
And let's add to the fact that you're dealing with an adopted child, all right, who, even though you say, you know, you adopted him from birth, he was actually bonding with somebody else for the first 9 months in utero.
Yeah, heard her heartbeat, had that experience. So there's still an ingrained, oh my goodness, things shifted for me experience.
So bonding with an adopted child, and we're adoptive parents as well, all right? So we know professionally and from our own personal experience what it takes to attach to an adopted child. It's like reattaching a limb, right? You're having to give extra attention and time to that adopted child because, like Lisa was saying, he bonded with his biological mother's heartbeat and body senses and body sounds and voice for those first 9 months. And he has to be close enough to you, and like physically in contact with you, to attach in those same physical ways to you so that he can feel on a bone deep level that you're his mom.
And then on top of it, he's had the experience of this great blessing but also challenge of, hey, I'm a baby, and all of a sudden there's another baby and everything just shifted. He didn't have as much time in your arms and getting one-on-one attention as he probably could have benefited from.
And you might bristle a little bit at this characterization, but the way you're talking about your kids, it's a little bit like you're talking about an object. Like, I have this child, and it should just take care of itself, as opposed to realizing that you have to teach the child to listen, and you have to teach the child to attach. So all the things you're describing are 100% normal. And the reason that you're struggling with them is it because you think that he should just be able to handle himself, and he really can't.
And a lot of that comes from, and every parent who's had kids close together experience this. Even if their kids are 2 or 3 years apart, they experience this. When you have a new baby, the one that came before it looks like a grown adult. So we expect more from that slightly older child.
So let's look at, so for example, you said he's running ahead of you. One of the rules that we talk about in parenting with grace, parenting your kids with grace, and also in Then Comes Baby, is the hold hands or hold you rule. So kids don't, especially any 3-year-old, but especially a child who comes from your kid's background, doesn't know how to listen, to not run into the street or not run ahead. So the rule is hold hands or hold you.
Anytime you're out of the house.
You should not walk out the door without your hand in that kid's hand. And if the kid fusses about that, then you pick him up and you hold him. He has to learn to stay close to you. This is exactly how you teach a pet to stay close to you.
Let's be honest about that. If you have a beloved dog and you're going out onto the street, you're not going to let that dog off a lead because you don't want it to say, "Oh, a squirrel," and run in front of a truck. So we think that because our children are more sentient beings, in other words, eventually they'll be able to think through things, that they will be able to understand our words. He's still learning your language, literally learning what words mean. You know, you have to say apple and show him an apple 3,000 times. So simple things like hold hands or hold you. If he's going into the bathroom and turning on the water, you know, go online and get a simple lock that locks above his level, so when he has to go to the bathroom, you or dad are the ones opening the door. He can't get in there and get into anything that could harm him or wreck the environment.
Very briefly, in terms of dad being able to handle the things, kids need to attach with mom before they attach with dad or anybody else. And especially, again, with the adopted child, he has to attach to you. So the best way to transition to dad is you guys do the things together. Bathe him together, you know, put him to bed together. And what happens is he learns that, oh, it's not just mom that can do this, dad can do this too. But it's going to take time to make that transition.
And as far as tasks like dinner, you have a couple of things you can do with that. The dishes after dinner, either you sit on the floor and play with the kids and let dad do the dishes, or you all do the dishes together. So dad's coming along, like Greg's saying, and you give him a towel and you hand him plates that he can't, you know, break, and he gets to dry things as you're washing things. And he gets a little cloth that helps him wipe down the counter. Yeah, you'll go back over it, but he's there with you. And then you say, "I'd love to play with you as soon as we're done cleaning up the dishes."
So, Carrie, you know, you have a beautiful heart, and I think you have the best intentions in the world, but the way we're talking about parenting is very different from the expectations that you have about your kids. And so in order to address these problems, I think you're going to need some ongoing support, and I'm going to really encourage you to download the Catholic Home app. That's Catholic H-O-M, to get daily support in really readjusting these expectations and learning how to manage these behaviors effectively.
And what to do when you're feeling overwhelmed by them. But I will say, Carrie, the wonderful thing is everything you're saying about your 3-year-old son is right on target for who he's supposed to be. You just need some new skills to cope with the fact that you have 2 kids under the age of 4.
And a better understanding developmentally of what you need to be expecting. Thanks so much for the call. 877-573-7825. We're talking today about parenting pitfalls. Are you facing parenting challenges, either related to your kid's behavior, your teen's drama, your adult child's choices? Maybe you're worried about helping your kids grow in their faith. Or you and your spouse are disagreeing about parenting. Or maybe you're getting pushback from your family or friends about your parenting choices, or you're just not feeling as confident as you'd like to feel in your parenting role. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls, plus we'll be joined by Rachel Isaac, who'll be sharing some insights on how to increase your confidence as a Catholic parent when we come back after this break.
Steve Ray here. Next year's a Jubilee year, and we're going to celebrate it in Rome. But not only Rome. This is our Saints and Shrines of Italy pilgrimage, and joining us is our good friend Teresa Tamio.
Yes, Steve, fantastico. Walking through the holy doors, immersing ourselves in the deeply Catholic culture of Italy. I'll be joining you and Janet in Florence and Assisi.
Join us this May for the Jubilee year, from Milan to Florence and much more, all the way to Rome.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Isn't it awesome that we today do not recognize his presence in the Eucharist? Is it because we really don't go to him in humbleness of heart and say, Lord, I don't believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I want to see you. I want to recognize you. I cannot live without you. Are we saying that?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Parenting Pitfalls, as we talk about all the challenges we face in Catholic parenting. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac. She is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, where she directs our Center for Performance Excellence, where she talks about how people in high-pressure environments can succeed. Rachel, welcome to More to Life. Oh, we just lost Rachel. I'm sorry. We lost the connection.
Hopefully we can reconnect with her very quickly.
But when we bring her back on, she's going to talk a little bit about how we can be more confident in our role as Catholic parents, because there are a lot of things that undermine our ability to be as confident as we'd like to be. I mean, whether that's everybody's got an opinion about how we should parent our kids, to the fact that we just get frustrated about all the things that our kids are doing.
Or we're just overwhelmed. And we've got Rachel back with us now. Rachel, can you hear us?
I can.
Oh, good.
So we wanted to talk about how parents can cultivate more confidence in their parenting role.
I think, you know, one of the most common challenges I talk about with the parents that I work with is that it's so easy to feel like we lose ourselves in parenting. We feel disconnected from ourselves, which then kind of makes us feel that lack of confidence. But I think it's important to remember that you still have all of the same strengths and gifts and talents that you had before you were a parent. They just present themselves a little bit differently now. So in order to feel more confident in yourself and more equipped to navigate, you know, the many different circumstances and challenges that we face, think first about the strengths you had or were aware of before becoming a parent. You know, maybe you were organized, creative, caring, hardworking, right? You know, and maybe in the past those strengths were more obvious or present, you know, in your work or your hobbies. But now you're feeling like you've lost sight of those strengths because you're not in the same role you were in before. Now we take a step back and say, okay, how can these strengths that I've used before help me be effective in my season of life now? So potentially in the past, you were organized in how you got your work done or how you kept your house. And now you're feeling disconnected from that strength because you feel overwhelmed by the never-ending laundry and the clutter of toys around you. You know, you feel disconnected because that strength doesn't look the way that it did before. But if we zoom out, we can recognize all of the other ways you're organized now. It requires a lot of organizational skill to get everyone to their activities on time or to, you know, pack all of the diapers and extra clothes and toys in the diaper bag, right? But you're still practicing that strength of organization. It just looks different now. you know, creative. Maybe you're a creative in your hobbies, and you can't really do those hobbies right now. But again, if we zoom out, we can recognize how creative we have to be as a parent in coming up with the, you know, things to entertain our children, or the games that we play, or, you know, creative in the dinners that we make so we don't eat the same thing every single night. Right? The list can really go on, but the point is that just because your strengths look different now doesn't mean that you're not using them or that you don't have them anymore. Recognizing who we are and the strengths that we have, and then making that conscious connection to how our strengths can help us be effective in our current season of life can really help us feel more equipped, more empowered, and more connected to ourselves so that we can be the parent that we were meant to be.
You know, Rachel, as you're saying this, and I love it so much, I've got this image in my head of when we've changed jobs in our lives. You know, perhaps we've gotten a promotion. Our daily routine and schedule in a brand new job, especially one that's stepping up, is not going to be the same. But as you're saying, we bring all those skills with us. It's what we put on our resume. But suddenly we have children, and we keep trying to get back to that single person who did it this way. And I love the fact that your emphasis is on, no, we're bringing all those skills with us. We've just stepped it up into a new career, right?
Exactly, and I think that's a perfect, you know, comparison. And just like in that new career, we might be experiencing that sense of, like, imposter syndrome now, right? I can't do this. I'm not equipped for this. But just like you're saying, in, you know, a career and in parenting, we take all of those strengths with us. We are equipped. Yeah, we'll have to learn some new things along the way, right? Just like we would in any new job that we start. And that, you know, it's not always going to look the same, but using our strengths can help us be empowered to navigate those situations.
Rachel, thanks for being with us. This is Rachel Isaac, the director of our St. Sebastian Program of Performance Excellence at CatholicCounselors.com, where she helps people in high-pressure positions like athletes, performers, and parents succeed in their role. We're taking your calls right now on our show today titled Parenting Pitfalls, 877-573-7825.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
We're all going to suffer. No one is getting out of this life unscathed. Even if you're an agnostic or an atheist, everyone is going to suffer. The rain falls on the just and the unjust, as our Lord tells us in the New Testament. So what do we do with it? Do we just say, oh, I'm so glad that's over, and don't learn anything from it? Or do we say, okay, God, this was not fun? Or as St. Teresa of Avila, the great doctor of the church and my patron, said, if this is the way you treat your friends, no wonder you have so few, right? Like, really, Lord? Seriously? And that's okay if you express yourself that way, obviously with respect and love, but St. Teresa of Avila did it, and so many saints expressed their frustrations that way. But at the end of the day, they still came back to God and said, okay, Lord, this really stinks, but I know somehow at the end, I'm going to come through it, and you're going to show me what you want me to do with it.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Like the saints, do our loved ones who have gone before us still participate in the living tradition of prayer? The Catholic Catechism says they participate by the witness of their lives, the transmission of their writings, and their actual prayer right now. Witnesses in heaven contemplate God, praise Him, and constantly care for those they have left on earth. When saints enter into the joy of their Master, they are put in charge of many things. The Catechism asserts that the saints' intercession is their most exalted service to God's plan. Thus, we should be asking them to intercede for us and for the entire world. Sometimes personal charisms of witnesses to God's love for mankind are passed on as the spirit of Elijah was passed on to Elisha and John the Baptist in order that their followers may have a share in their spirit. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. The key to being effective at handling conflict is keeping a close eye on our own emotional temperature. On a scale of 1 to 10, you never want to allow yourself to get over a 7, especially when you're in disagreement with someone. How do you know when you're getting too hot? One of the first behavioral signs that we are approaching a 7 on our emotional temperature scale is that we start to speak and act too quickly for our brain to keep up. We start to trip over our words. We make silly, avoidable mistakes like knocking over a glass that we're reaching for. When our emotional temperature gets too high, we lose track of details, which makes it harder to solve problems and often makes us do and say things that make problems even worse. To lower your stress temperature, one deceptively simple technique is to deliberately slow down. Speak a little more slowly than you want to. Or instead of thinking of all the things you have to do next, focus your mind on what you're doing now. Consciously slowing down lets your thinking brain catch up with your feeling brain, which lets your whole brain work on resolving the conflict. To learn more, check out our book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today our show is titled Parenting Pitfalls. You know, being a parent is never easy. But being a Catholic parent in today's world, that's especially difficult. What parenting challenges are you facing? Are you struggling with your child's behavior, your teen's drama, or your adult child's choices? Maybe you're worried about helping your kids grow in their faith. Or maybe you and your spouse are disagreeing about parenting. You know, and everybody has an opinion about how we ought to parent, and sometimes that can undermine our confidence too. Whatever you're struggling with, we want to help you be a more effective, confident Catholic parent. Give us a call. That number is 877-573-7825.
Before we go to our next question, we want to ask for your help if you are listening to us in Idaho. Your station needs to hear from you next week. Salt and Light Radio, with 10 signals in English and Spanish, will air their fall pledge drive next Wednesday through Friday.
So if you're listening in Boise, Twin Falls, Caldwell, or anywhere, remember to support your EWTN Catholic radio station. And again, wherever you're tuning in to EWTN Radio, make sure that you are keeping us in prayer, but also supporting EWTN with your financial, with your dollars as well, so we can keep EWTN on the air for decades to come and supporting you in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. With that, we're taking your calls on our show titled Parenting Pitfalls today as we talk about all the things that make parenting difficult these days. 877-573-7825. Once again, that's 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, we have a question that came in on questions@moretoliferadio.com from Jennifer, listening to EWTN Radio in Virginia. She said, my son has been in Cub Scouts since the beginning of the school year, and it doesn't seem to be a good fit. The boys are very rough and physically aggressive, and a lot of the time our son doesn't enjoy it. I think we should let him quit and find another activity that he enjoys more. My husband loved scouting as a kid and really wants him to keep going and learn to adjust to the discomfort and learn how to cope with other people's styles in relationship. What should we do? And that's Jennifer.
And I'm sorry, I know he's in Cub Scouts, so what is that? How old are we talking about?
You were in Scouts? I don't know. That's probably...
Early school age. All right, so a couple of things here. You know, at that age, and one of the reasons I asked about this is because this is the industry versus inferiority stage, if you think back to your Psych 101 classes right in college. And what that means is that it's good to support kids in succeeding at things at this stage because they want to develop that sense of industry, that sense of competence, that I can set out to do and accomplish the things that I set out to do. So if we can help a kid succeed in something, then we should, and that would be a good thing to help them learn to overcome those hurdles. At the same time, another part of that is being realistic about whether they're capable of overcoming that hurdle, either because the hurdle might be just objectively too high, or they're just not in a place to be able to handle the thing. So that's the challenge here. What I would suggest that you do is start by seeing if you can't help your son navigate these situations a little bit more effectively, particularly by role-playing some of the more difficult things. So start by, you know, if he's having a hard time with this situation or that, you know, play it out with, between you guys. You know, either observe what happens, and then you be the other, you know, you kind of pretend to be the other kid and coach your son how to handle it with you, so you're actually getting practice, or he's getting practice in how to manage that situation. See how he does with that. You know, or when he complains about something, empathize with him and say, you know what, I'm really sorry that you're going through that. That sounds really difficult. What do you think you could do to handle that better? And then brainstorm together about how to handle it. And then maybe role play the situation the way you'd like it to, like to see him handle that. So you're giving him the opportunity to succeed and coaching him in developing the skills that he needs to do better in that environment. Now, if you're doing that and it's not working, you know, he's coming back miserable from Cub Scouts every time. It's just, you know, you're dragging him through it. Then you want to start looking at maybe there are other ways to give your son these experiences that his dad wants to give him. You know, maybe dad and son could go on weekend camping trips, you know, and there are other things that maybe
work
dad
on those kinds
hikes.
Of projects that, you know, they would do in Scouts, but, you know, together in your garage.
Right. But whether this was scouting or any other thing, you know, once a kid starts it, it's helpful to show them how to finish it and succeed at it. But we also don't want to set them up for continued failure, because success builds on success and failures build on failures, right? So if you're able to support him in coaching him through the way I was describing, in doing better and enjoying this more, then that's your first go-to. But if the challenges continue to be too difficult, either because they're just objectively hard to handle because this is a rough crowd of kids, or he's just not the kid to handle it, then you start looking for other ways to develop those skills.
And I 1,000% agree with everything you're saying. I want to give you a little bit of another filter to see this through as well, Jennifer. So here's the thing. You don't say anything else about the rest of your son's life, daily existence. So you have to ask yourself some questions here. You know, if your son is in a situation where he is homeschooled and this is his only outside the home social experience, you may want to push a little bit harder to teach him to accommodate, because you can accommodate to whatever he needs in terms of his own personality all day long in your homeschooling situation. But if he is in a school outside of your house, a brick and mortar school, and he's having to accommodate to other students around him all day, teachers who are asking things of him all day, and this is just meant to be an extracurricular activity to enhance his life, that's when you really want to say, how much do we die on the hill for extracurriculars? Because those extracurriculars are really supposed to be there to give our children something outside the day-to-day things that they have to handle that require an awful lot of them emotionally, physically, and intellectually. It's there to help them find what's going to make them thrive, and those extracurriculars should really be more in line with their personal energy and style and all of those things. So if you have a kid who would rather be in a class where he's quietly learning how to do art, or he'd be better off in something that's even more regulated, that like a team sport where there are particular drills and particular games and it's not as chaotic perhaps as a Cub Scout meeting would be. So you really want to assess, is he overloaded by too many things that are requiring too much for him by being in this? Or is this something where it's the only thing where he really has to deal with adapting, and bring that into the conversation with your husband?
You know, but going back to your husband's concerns, I mean, you know, look, we all want our kids to enjoy the things we enjoy. We want to pass those things on, and that's a beautiful thing. You know, so don't just, but the temptation is to think that there's only one way to do that. Right. So if the coaching that we're suggesting and the role playing that we're suggesting don't work, then start having some conversations about what other ways dad could pass on his love for the outdoors and camping and all those kind of scouting related skills, you know, that he could do those things with your son and be able to find other ways to make that happen. Right. Let's not limit ourselves to, you know, just this one way of doing it. You know, so I hope that those suggestions will help you move down the road with this. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out. And I just want to share again, every day on Catholic Home, that's Catholic H-O-M, we are providing this kind of support to parents all over the world. So if you download the Catholic H-O-M app, you can chat with Lisa and me every day and get direct advice on how to handle different parenting challenges, not just Lisa and me, but our whole group of pastoral counselors at CatholicCounselors.com and Catholic Family Life Coaches are all on the app interacting with subscribers every day, giving you the advice, support, and resources that you need to be a more confident Catholic parent, creating a more loving, connected, and caring Catholic household on mission. In addition to the personal support and advice, you can get tons of fun faith-building family activities, tune into exclusive podcasts for Catholic moms and dads, and watch our animated series on how to build a loving Catholic family together with your kids so that the whole family's on board for this. Just so many resources on the Catholic HOM app. Download it, become a subscriber today. We'd love to see you as part of the community so we can keep supporting you every day in building your Catholic household on mission. With that, it's time for our break, and it's time for our scripture of the day as we head out to that break. So let's take it away, Lisa.
Today's scripture is 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us.
And I picked this scripture today because the Catechism actually reminds parents that we are meant to be our children's first glimpse at how God loves them. And so we take as our model for loving our kids and parenting our kids not the way we were parented, not any book that we read or any example that we see out in the world. We take as our example the way Christ loves us. And we ask, how can I show that love to my kids? In the time I spend with them, and the things I do with them, and the ways I correct them, how could I do a better job of modeling God the Father's love for me? And the more we're able to spend time reflecting on that love that he gives to us, the more effective we are at conveying that love to our kids. But that's really our mission. The most important thing a Catholic parent can do, beyond all the other stuff that parenting involves, is make sure that in everything we're doing our best to convey to our kids how much God loves them through the things we do for and with them. 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. We're taking your calls on our show today titled Parenting Pitfalls. Got parenting challenges? We want to help you get the tools you need to navigate those parenting pitfalls at every age and stage, whether we're talking about your little kids, your teens, or your adult kids. Parenting really never ends, although it changes dramatically. Let us help you navigate all those challenges that come with every age and stage at 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after the break.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
I've seen the difference in my son since he's been at Ave Maria. He's happy, he's excited about what he's going to do with his degree, and he's living his faith.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Parenting Pitfalls, as we talk about the challenges that we all face as parents, whether we're talking about dealing with the challenges presented by our children's behavior, or the challenges that come from our spouse disagreeing with our parenting, or our family pushing back against our parenting choices, or us just not feeling as confident as parents as we'd like to feel. 877-573-7825. Just share a quick funny anecdote here. We have Beth wrote in over the break. She saw the post of our show title on social media and read it wrong, and she said, I thought the title of today's program was Parenting Pit Bulls.
She either read it wrong or we pronounced it funny.
That would probably be a very different kind of show, I would think.
Well, sometimes in parenting, you feel like you're being attacked by a pit bull, she's not far off. Thank you, Beth, for the chuckle today. We are talking about parenting today on More to Life at whatever age and stage you and your kids are at. Let's take our question from Maria right now, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas. Hi, Maria.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. What's going on with you?
Well, I have three teenage daughters. 19.
What are their ages?
19, 18, and 16. So two are in college, and one is still at a school. My question is, I have been providing close supervision when they were in high school in terms of, you know, exposure to electronics. They only got cell phones when they were 16. They didn't get social media until they went to college and had, you know, first covenantized throughout the family, then went to college with custodial. And even when they were home, I was, you know, providing screen time and all those things. And now that they're at college, I still keep a screen time and things like that in custodial because, to me, they're legally adults, but they're so immature. And as a matter of fact, our oldest made very poor choices. Nothing serious, but, you know, staying up late, not showing up in the morning classes, losing her scholarship. And she actually had to switch to a different school because of that. And my husband does not agree that, I mean, he says, well, you know, at some point they have to fail there from their own mistakes. And I do understand and agree. It's just so scary that nowadays the mistakes that they can make can scar them for life, not the mistakes that we used to make when we were their age. And so at some point, and I don't know how many kids when they go to college, they still have screen time restrictions or you know, supervision like custodial or covenantized. But my husband is against.
And I just want to ask one quick question, Maria. The two that are in college, how far away are they?
Well, one was 6 hours away, the oldest, and she had to come back home because she lost her scholarship, and she was very, very mature making those decisions.
Like, and the other one?
She did very poorly. The other one is 12 hours away, and she's very mature, but still, when I remove the restrictions, I can see her. She's up at 2 or 3 o'clock.
Okay. So, Maria, I completely understand where you're coming from. I mean, we've got college-age kids, and it's scary, you know, to watch them launch. I get where you're coming. But I will say this. I think you and your husband are both wrong in a way. You mean well. But what you're doing is you're sort of setting up a situation where you either control their behavior for them or you don't do anything. And the third answer here is you need to teach them how to handle the things for themselves, and you're not giving them the space to do that. So, you know, on your side, you're saying, you know, I need to control every aspect of their lives because they won't do it if I don't. And your husband's saying, well, just let them fail. And really, both of those parenting approaches end up not working terrifically well, right? Because what we really need to be doing is teaching our kids how to do things, right? Teaching them how to manage their time, not doing it for them, but supporting them in doing that. Now, as your kids are in college, you don't have the ability to do that anymore. And so the only choice you've got really is to back off and let them figure it out. But with the kid that's still home, I'm going to really encourage that you change your approach there and be less controlling and more teaching and mentoring. So let me give you an example. So instead of saying, you know, you can't have social media until you're in college, so you have a 16-year-old at home. You know, one of the approaches that we took with social media was we recognized that it's social. If you're on your phone and when you're talking with somebody, you know, you're chatting with somebody, you've invited that person into our house, right? And so we would talk about, not in a kind of who are you talking to kind of a way, but as a, oh, who are you chatting with? What's going on in their life? You know, and just as we would talk to them if they brought their friend into the house, right? So that person becomes part of the conversation. And there's the expectation that, you know, our kids know that we're going to be involved in those conversations, right? And so that when, you know, she is getting in over her head with a particular situation or topics come up that we're concerned about, we can talk through those things and pray through those things together and mentor her in how to handle that, so that as she's growing up, we're seeing, oh, you know, this is a kid who has been through stuff with our support and knows how to handle things. Right? As opposed to saying, you can't have the thing until you go away to college and I can't supervise it anymore, and then you're free to do whatever you want.
It's a little like saying, you know, you can't have food until you go away to college, and then suddenly you're going to just have all this food all over the place. I've never given you a way to discern what's healthy to eat, how much to eat. The kid's probably going to just jump in, eat everything in sight, and make themselves sick.
Yeah, so I mean, you're coming from a good place, and your intentions are really beautiful, and I completely get why you're concerned, right? But you're parenting out of fear, not really out of a place of love. I'm not saying you don't love your kids. Of course you love your kids.
But that's not where your decisions are coming from.
Your decisions are all rooted in fear. So everything you're doing with your kids is all about fear, and everything your husband's saying is don't be afraid. But neither of you is really teaching any skills.
And it's not too late to teach those skills.
So I'm going to encourage you to take a look at our book, Parenting Your Teens with Grace, that really talks about how to use this more mentoring approach. And by the way, you know, everything we're talking about here is rooted in St. John Bosco's philosophy of child rearing, which he called the preventive system. And he applied it specifically to education. We've broadened it out to talk about child rearing in general. We call it discipleship discipline, which is an approach to discipline that does exactly what we're talking about here. You know, helps you be able to identify what are the things my kid needs to do, and how can I support them in learning how to do it in a healthy and godly way? You know, by teaching them skills instead of just restricting behavior and putting on all these guards and protections and barriers, because the problem with that is they're fine as long as they're within those walls, right? Within the, you know, as long as they've got the covenant eyes, and as long as I'm getting their screen time reports, and as long as I'm over, you know, breathing down their necks, they're fine. But then as soon as I don't do those things anymore, then they start messing up because they don't know how to handle anything for themselves, and they haven't developed their own conscience because I've been their conscience the whole time. You know, why do they need to learn to think about anything, any moral problems? Because I've been always the one telling them what to do. So they never have to figure it out. Now, again, you know, your husband's response to that is to say, well, then just let them go figure it out. Problem there is that if they don't have any skills to figure it out, then they're going to fail a lot before they get it right. And so you guys just start feeding off of each other, right? So the third way here is to be able to say, all right, my kid wants to do this. What do I need to see from them? So, for example, you get a 16-year-old, you know, let's say your kid wants to learn how to drive, but you don't trust her to drive because she's maybe irresponsible, or she doesn't follow through on things, or doesn't pay attention to stuff. So you say, all right, well, you know what? I would love for you to be able to drive. So but in order to trust you in the car, I need to see you following through on things around the house. I need to see you paying attention to what I ask you to do. So let's come up with a plan for helping you develop those skills. And when I see you doing a better job attending and following through, then I'll know that I can trust you in this environment, and we'll go get your driver's license.
And additionally, you've made sure that they're enrolled in lessons that will actually teach them the skills of how to drive and be safe.
But, you know, but the point is, you're not just talking about the skill to do the thing. You're talking about developing the virtues and the character traits that they need to succeed at the thing. And you're not just telling them, I need you to be more responsible. You're coming up with a plan for how to help them do that. We talk more about this in Parenting Your Teens with Grace. We also talk a lot about this kind of approach on the Catholic HOM app, because it's a very different way of thinking about parenting than a lot of us naturally do. And you get the daily support that you need on Catholic HOM to parent your kids effectively and raise faithful, godly kids who can go out into the world and lead godly lives. Thanks so much for tuning in today. If you need more support, download the Catholic HOM app, become part of the community there, or reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. where we can hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life through the light of God's grace. Get out there and celebrate the life God wants for you, because with His grace, there really is so much more to life. Thanks for tuning in. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.